welcome to another edition of the UK Law Weekly podcast with me, your host, Marcus Cleaver. This week we are going to be looking at the case of the Secretary of State for Business and Trade and Mercer. The citation for this case is 2024 UKSC 12. And the facts of this case are fairly simple, but the principle that is derived from it is extremely important. The appellant, Ms. Mercer, was employed as a support worker by the care service provider Alternative Futures Group Limited. Of significance, she was also a workplace representative of Unison and became involved in the planning of strike action. She was later suspended by the company, during which time she received normal pay, but was unable to earn money for overtime. As a result of this suspension, she brought a claim against Alternative Futures under Section 146 of the Trade Union and Labour Relations Consolidation Act 1992. During the proceedings, she argued that she had suffered detrimental treatment done for the sole or main purpose of preventing or deterring her from taking part in the activities of an independent trade union at an appropriate time, or penalising her for having done so. When the claim went to the Employment Tribunal, a preliminary question was whether Section 146 actually protected workers from detriment short of dismissal for participation in lawful industrial action, in line with Articles 10 and 11 of the European Convention on Human Rights, which are the rights to freedom of expression and peaceful assembly, respectively. The tribunals were unable to agree, but when the case went to the Court of Appeal, an appeal from the Secretary of State for the Business and Trade, who had intervened in the proceedings, was allowed. As such, it was held that whilst Section 146 could not be interpreted compatibly with Article 10, the Court of Appeal nevertheless refused to make a declaration of incompatibility. Mercer appealed to the Supreme Court, which is where we pick things up. The justices began by pointing out a slightly strange dichotomy in the law as it currently stands. While an employee who is dismissed for taking part in lawful strike action has a remedy for unfair dismissal, there is not really any protection when an employer takes action that is short of dismissal in the same circumstances. In this case, as defined by the Supreme Court, the question is whether Section 146 of the Trade Union and Labour Relations Consolidation Act 1992 can be interpreted in a way to provide such protection, and if not, what the consequences of that should be. Starting with the legislation, Section 146 does protect workers from detrimental treatment, which has the purpose of preventing or deterring union activity. However, it is important to note that this protection only applies, quote, at an appropriate time, end quote. In other words, it does not offer protection from detrimental treatment when the worker is participating in lawful strike action, because that is not at an appropriate time within the meaning of the statute. This therefore raised the question about whether such an absence of protection was compatible with Article 11 of the European Convention on Human Rights. Cases from the European Court of Human Rights on this matter make it clear that while the right to strike is protected by Article 11, it is neither a core nor absolute right. States do have certain positive obligations to protect the right to strike, but they have also been granted a wide margin of appreciation by the courts, given the social and political questions involved. Thus, while the UK is not obliged to provide any sort of universal protection of the right to strike, that is not to say that there are no obligations whatsoever. Generally, the law should provide a fair balance between employers and workers, and any restrictions placed on the right to strike should be reasonable and justifiable. The fact that the law does not offer any protection at all to workers who are facing disciplinary sanctions short of dismissal for taking part in a lawful strike is disproportionate because it nullifies the right to strike by exposing workers to an entire swathe of retaliation by an employer. As such, the UK is in breach of its obligations under Article 11. The next question for the justices to consider related to Section 3 of the Human Rights Act 1998, which requires the courts to interpret primary legislation in line with the Convention so far as it is possible to do so. However, it was held that in this case, it is impossible to interpret Section 146 in a way that would be compatible with Article 11. Doing so would require significant decisions about policy, which are not for the courts to make. Finally, the justices had to then consider whether or not to make a declaration of incompatibility under Section 4 of the Human Rights Act 1998. Interestingly, the Court of Appeal had decided that it could not make a declaration of incompatibility because the incompatibility in question arose from a gap in domestic law instead of any particular provision in statute. The Supreme Court disagreed with that approach. They held that Section 146 is the only means by which Mercer would be able to assert her rights under the Convention, but is unable to do so because there is no valid interpretation of the provision that would permit this. It is true that the question about how this gap in the law should be addressed is a policy question for Parliament to answer, but the complete absence of any policy at the current time does not preclude a declaration of incompatibility. As such, the appeal was allowed and the Supreme Court issued a declaration of incompatibility. Now, for those of us interested in the law, there is a lot to unpack here. In particular, human rights lawyers will surely be fascinated by the fact that the top court in the land made a declaration of incompatibility, despite the fact that there was not, strictly speaking, a provision of the statute book that was incompatible. Instead, the incompatibility came from a gap in the law that Parliament must now consider whether to address. This potentially opens up other circumstances where declarations might be made in the future, and gives judges much more flexibility when considering their approach to a breach of a convention right. The judgment is also a significant one for employment lawyers, as the government will now be under pressure to amend the Trade Union and Labour Relations Consolidation Act 1992 to make it compatible. If they do so, then employers will have to think very carefully about sanctions that they impose on any workers who take part in strike action. In the meantime, as the Supreme Court pointed out, employers have something of a carte blanche when it comes to punishing striking members of their workforce, which is a bit of a scary thought. For the government, this decision is surely a devastating blow to their bid to undermine the right to strike in this country. Over the past several years, the Conservatives have introduced a number of new laws that have strengthened the hand of employers as economic struggles have prompted workers in various industries to go on strike. Arguably, this decision could be seen as a warning shot across the bow. The Supreme Court has shown that Article 11 does offer protection to workers, and that it is not afraid to give voice to those rights when it is necessary to do so. Well, thank you very much for listening to this podcast, and thanks as ever to bensound.com, who provide the theme music. Special thanks this week go out to Fraser, who left a 5-star review and described the podcast as a fantastic resource. I happen to know that Fraser is working on their dissertation at the moment, so I want to take a moment to wish them all the best of luck with that impressive undertaking. Remember that if you enjoyed the podcast, then one of the best ways that you can support what I do is by also leaving a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. I promise it's not just an ego boost, it does really help new listeners to find the show. And if you want to go even further, then you can subscribe to my newsletter, where each week I share my thoughts on some of the biggest legal stories. There is both a free and a paid option, so do check out the link in the description to this episode. Anyway, I'll be back with another episode next week. But for now, bye!